relationships, religion, reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake me. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking.
You beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, July 18th, 2012, the only July 18th, 2012 in the history of the world. You suck. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on this midweek edition of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday night. Now, I don't know if you heard that. I'm not still sure on the technical aspects, if you hear things when people are on hold. But let's check in with Sean O'Halloran, the engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire, that I said that he sucks. And Sean, you do suck, by the way.
Okay.
And some people would take that as disrespect, and some people would take that as a compliment. How do you take that this evening?
Frustrated.
You're frustrated?
Yep.
You don't look frustrated.
No, I'm frustrated.
You look good.
Long day.
Long day, but you are in your insurance agent best outfit. I know you have been clothed and fed now. You have provided drink for me, which I appreciate. And yeah, you suck. So take that as it will.
Maybe I just won't quit my day job.
I advise that you should not. This is Glenn Klein Online, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening and it is 4 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, you are cordially invited to call us at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. And if you're listening outside of North America, you can call us too at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got some things that we're planning to talk about, but it never supersedes what you want to talk about. So wherever you are listening right now, literally all over the planet, if you're listening live, see, if you're listening on the archive, you can't call. You can email. You can call next week. But if you are listening live anywhere on the planet, you can call us at 813-425-5773. in North America, it is at this point, I don't even know why the hell anybody has any toll-free numbers. I don't know why we do. Why do we have a toll-free number?
I guess just to encourage people to call in, but it seems like everybody has free long distance anyway, so I don't know why it matters.
Well, you know what I learned today? I've been conversing with a number of gospel or grace people via Facebook and online, and I found out that my cell and my local phone service, if you will, that works long distance, Verizon, it doesn't go into Canada, for example. So everybody doesn't have toll-free, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Well, if you guys are listening and you do have a – if you want to just call us and you don't even have free to call to the United States, you can call us too at 813-425-5773. As I said, we have lots to talk about on this particular mid – this is literally the midpoint of July because we have 5 weeks in July, five Mondays in July. Next week will be the 25th, will be the fourth Wednesday in July. And then the following week will be the first Wednesday in August. So we have much time, many days to speak with you. We want to hear from you. We've got some very specific things to talk about, which we will. But we're going to encourage you to call Sean right now at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260, 813-425-5773 is the direct line all over the planet. And now let us go to the Facebook laureate of the good news, to the lover state, to the beautiful human known as Germa Colston. Germ!
Hey, Glenn.
Germ.
Hey.
I got to say that your Facebook post early this morning, it might have been 5:45 or 6:15 this morning when I saw you talking about how you perceived the Bible and the scriptures. That was the inspiration for the theme of this here radio show tonight, which is the Bible is not the Word of God. Thank you for doing that. How are you tonight?
Welcome. I'm hanging in there right now. I'm pretty calm right now.
Did you get yourself some tea and honey like I advised earlier today?
Actually, I did.
You did?
Yeah, actually, I did that about hours ago.
And does it seem to be soothing the cough within?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. You know who recommended the tea and honey?
Yeah, you did.
Well, no, I did to you, but Carla, you guys that have been listening to the webcast before this here webcast, you will remember that the very lovely and talented Carla not only recommended the tea and honey to me, but she would provide the tea and honey when I would come home from the Gospel Revolution webcast. You remember that, Germ?
Oh, yeah. I remember now, yeah.
That's where I learned about the benefits of tea and honey. And you guys, with all kidding aside, if you've got any kind of tickle or any kind of sleeping disorder, there's two things that Carr used to recommend to me. Tea and honey, which he would provide for me, and warm milk. Sean, I know that sounds silly, but warm milk actually helps when you're trying to go to sleep because calcium is a positive thing to consume prior to trying to go to bed. It does make you drowsy.
I can't remember the exact name, but when you heat milk, it releases some kind of enzyme that is a sleep aid.
Yeah, it worked. And I like soy milk. But Carr had regular milk, but I had soy milk. But it worked, Germ. So a little tea and honey, little warm milk, and I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, have you ever taken NyQuil, like when you have sinus problems or colds and stuff?
Of course. Dude, there is not a sleep remedy that I have not taken, whether it be advised or not advised. Like a couple of shots of Jack Daniels and a Xanax, good night now.
That's pretty effective, too.
No, it works. It works.
Yeah.
You guys, what works is for you to pick up the phone and give us a call. We got Germa Colston online from Virginia, Sean O'Halloran in the studio. This is Glenn Klein online on the good news. Give us a call right now at 1-800-436-3260. We've got some phone lines available right now. Toll free all over North America, 1-800-436-3260. I know you've always wanted to talk to Girma Colston, so give him a call right now. Or all over the planet at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. No matter if it has to do what we're talking about right now or if you have to, something completely off the subject, we're happy to take your call. Sean is ready, willing, and able to take your calls.
Hey, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I put on my Facebook page to go to glennklein.com for my other friends. So if I put that, will that immediately take them to the live archive? I mean, the live webcast.
Did you say glennklineonline.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. And then all they have to do is click on listen live.
Okay. All right.
So they're probably listening live to you right now, Gorilla. And I have to say, I'm glad you are alive right now. And you, dude, you are so freaking unusual. As crazy as Facebook is, and you guys that are into Facebook, and there's only about a billion people around the world that understand what we're talking about right now. So about 1/7 of the world's population. You have emoted and articulated and enunciated your emotions, your perspective, what you're going through. Dude, you are in some serious, serious medical potential trouble, and you've told everybody that has followed you on Facebook, what's up? How do you do that?
I don't know. I just, I figure, I told to the folks that I care about and I believe care about me, I figure, they should have a heads up as to what could be going on. We don't know for sure, but just I'm glad that you use the word potential, because it just means it may not necessarily be something serious.
What I always try to do personally, and certainly on this radio show, is bring the truth. And the truth is that potentially you've got some serious shit happening in your life. But most people, as outrageous as people get on Facebook, they're not near as brutally honest as you are. How are you able to do that? How are you able to tell people about that you're thinking about your brother who committed suicide, about the fact that you might be contemplating suicide, about how to commit suicide, about your physical problem that you're having, about the challenges that you're having, about the struggles that you're having? How do you do that? Most people, even on Facebook, don't do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really the only place I kind of feel comfortable venting, just on, my own page. And, it's just a lot of different things that I feel throughout the day and different things that that go through my mind. That doesn't mean I air out every single private thought. It just means that there's certain things that hopefully that are helpful to at least one soul out there. You might be struggling with the same thing.
You would not be alone in saying that you don't convey every private thought.
Right.
I don't know that a person could possibly do that, because we're not even aware of every private thought. But you can, you convey a lot more than most people do. How has the influence of the gospel, the good news, the information in your soul that you are perfect and righteous and holy, as far as God is concerned? That's how we define the gospel, you guys, that there is no division between you and God, between Gurma and God, between Sean, me, and we're all one, in other words.
Yeah.
How does that information inform your decision to make your feelings public knowledge?
Well, I mean, I guess just the constant awareness, that we are all one, and that that in reality we that we, even if we can't see it, we, I mean, not only do we have an intimate relationship with God, we have an intimate relationship with each other.
Whether we know it or not. I mean, that's the thing. We literally are family, aren't we?
One big happy family, the human race, is whether we realize it or not. We are one big family.
Are we happy with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt? Are we happy with, are we one big happy family with Al-Qaeda?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Are we one big happy family with the Gospel Revolution?
Yep.
I have a harder time saying that than about Al-Qaeda, I must admit. But that's another story, ladies and gentlemen. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Kermit Gulston from Stafford, Virginia. We've got Sean O'Halloran in studio ready to take a call. It sounds like somebody's calling right now, Sean. I might be wrong, but I hear things in my headphones. Gurma, what was the turning point for you as far as this understanding that we are one big happy family, regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we do, regardless of where we go, regardless of who we associate with? What was the turning point for you realizing that we are actually one big happy family, whether anybody will acknowledge it or not?
I guess the real turning point for me was back in September of 2007. It's hard to explain. It's just, I had an epiphany. As far as God saving everybody, and that, you know, that he's made us all in a tight, just in tight union with him. And after just reading and studying, the Bible and the scriptures for hours, and there are different, of course, different verses in the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets that kind of jumped out at me that I've never really, read before, or read them in a different light before. They've been so conditioned before, of course, to read it through the eyes of what my theological seminary professors had explained to me.
Did you go to theological seminary or cemetery, if you will?
It was a very small private Bible college / seminary. I did that for like two semesters, and this was like many years ago, like over a decade ago. So, there was some good thing. I mean, I even wrote a whole note a while back about the good and the bad and the ugly of going through that experience. But at the end of the day, I mean, I kind of feel like what Paul said, that everything that he had learned, through, being under the law, just all dung,
Paul said that everything that he had learned as a Pharisee, as a scriptural scholar, we're talking about, you guys, the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul of the Roman Catholic Church, he said that everything he had learned about the scriptures before he understood the grace of God was all shit. That's what he said, right?
Yeah, I believe pretty much that if he was here in modern day, he would have said shit.
He said dung. We understand, or some of us in the society still understand what the word dung means. So today, dude, you write basically on your Facebook, and you guys, I cannot... are you still accepting friends on Facebook, Gurm?
Of course.
Okay. I cannot recommend Gurma Colston enough as far... You guys that are on Facebook, or even if you're not on Facebook, this would be a reason to get on Facebook. Gurma, G-I-R-M-A, Colston, C-O-L-S-T-O-N. You might have to put Stafford, Virginia. Although, I don't think there's another Gurma Colston on the planet. Have you discovered another Gurma Colston?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've discovered other Glenn Kleins. spelled exactly the same way. GLENKLEIN. There's other Glenn Kleins. I'm not happy about it. I am happy to report that if you Google Glenn Klein spelled correctly, you'll get me. You'll get this radio show. You'll get my affiliation with the aforementioned Gospel Revolution. But there's no other Grima Colstons. I'm asking, question mark. Germ.
What's that?
There's no other Grima Colstons.
And as far as I know, there isn't.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. But if you go on to Facebook, you guys, and search Grima Colston, and specifically do Stafford, Virginia, you're going to get to our boy Grima Colston. And his Facebook post this morning on the whole issue of Bible verses and the Bible itself was the inspiration for this program, which was the Bible is not the Word of God. Now, Grima, you talked, I'm going to get into the specifics about why the Bible is not the Word of God, but in your post on Facebook, you got into the specifics of why it is okay and why you choose to pick and choose the verses of the Bible that you will receive and that you will reject. How can you say stuff like that?
Well, because Jesus, you know, our Lord and Savior, told us really what the Scriptures are. And number one, you know, he said that the Scriptures are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Nothing about, you know, anything else. The Bible. There's nothing that indicates that all 66 books of the Bible are Scripture. Epistles are commentaries, and you know Paul's commentaries happen to agree with the Scriptures more, I believe. But as far as picking and choosing, I pick and choose in a way that actually agrees with the Scriptures. When the Scriptures foretold that the Messiah would come and redeem everybody, and raise the dead, and do away with sin completely, it's okay to pick and choose if you're not, as long as you're not doing so in a way that. Or you're picking and choosing which parts of the law are for today or which are not for today, or picking and choosing in a way that excuses yourself while condemning others, which is
which
the
is
way that most of Christianity picks and chooses.
Well, all of Christianity does that.
Yeah, that I would agree, yeah.
I mean, you guys, you got to understand something. Germa just said that it's okay to pick and choose from the Bible, which is congruent with what the Scriptures teach. And as he said earlier, the Scriptures are strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Most of the Old Testament, even part of the Old Testament, is not Scripture. If it's not a law, a book of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, or the five books of Moses, the Psalms, the book of Psalms that was penned by, we think, David, King David, and the prophets, all the prophets, prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Zechariah, Jeremiah. Did I say Jeremiah? Did I say Jeremiah, Sean? I did. Books like the Psalms, or excuse me, the Proverbs and Lamentations and Ecclesiastes, they're not in that category, you guys. It's not that we can't learn stuff from that. The book of Ruth is not in that category. It's a good story. It's a wonderful story. There's some really great stuff in the New Testament writings. But
yeah.
The bottom line, Germ, is that Jesus, Yeshua, as I like to call him by his actual name, Salvation, Joshua in English, not Jesus, not of Zeus. You guys understand that, right? That Jesus, it means of Zeus. Jesus, of Zeus. That's how he got his name. That's how the name became Jesus. because they were making the claim, Constantine, the emperor in Rome, was making the claim, this is okay. He was trying to embrace and have this new cult, if you will, or this new movement called the Way, part of the Roman Empire. Jesus in Spanish, of Zeus. This is okay, he said, because it's of Zeus. And this is of the Greek-Roman theology. But his name was Joshua. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua. It means of salvation. That was his name. And Jesus, or Yeshua, Gurm, he actually defined the scriptures for us, didn't he? In the New Testament writings, which is not scripture, it couldn't have been scripture when he was talking about it. It couldn't have been the Holy Writ. It wasn't written yet. When the disciples and the Apostle Paul and Yeshua himself was referring to the scriptures, he couldn't have been talking about the New Testament, you guys, because it wasn't written yet. That's logical. That's vital. That's rational. And we have found over time that the influence of the gospel on one's soul actually brings a vital, logical, rational, mental disposition into play. We understand that they could not have been talking about the New Testament because the New Testament writings weren't written yet. How hard is that for you guys to understand? The concept that the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, is the Word of God is a tradition. There's nothing in the Bible, not one time, that says that. I have challenged people in the past that I would pay them $1 million. I once had $1 million, Gurm.
I did.
I actually had $1 million one time. But I've challenged them since then, or then and since then. I would pay $1 million for somebody to prove to me from the Bible that the Bible claims to be the Word of God. You think if the Bible was the Word of God, that it would claim to be the Word of God somewhere in there at least one time. But it's not in there, is it, Grim?
No, it's not. I mean, you're not going to find it. And Jesus never even said that there would be more scriptures coming. You would think that he would say that.
Well, I mean, Jesus, Yeshua would say it, Paul would say it, Peter would say it, somebody would say it.
Yeah.
Those guys, listen, let me tell you guys something. James and John and Peter and Paul, they agreed on nothing. Dude, are you okay?
Yeah, sorry.
All right,
excuse me.
Are you out of tea and honey?
No, I'm going to get some more after we finish.
Can you put the phone down and get some more while we're talking?
Yeah.
Can you hold on?
Sure.
Can you hold on?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to break, and Gurma's going to go get some more tea and honey. We're going to continue with this line of conversation. You guys might have an opposing view. We would love to hear opposing views. We would love to hear your perspective on why you think the Bible is the Word of God. We don't. We want to hear your talk. Believe me, you will be respected. You will not be disrespected on this radio show. For sure by Sean O'Halloran, who's waiting to take your call right now at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Around the world, if it is 9:30 on the East Coast of the USA, that means you can call live and direct, and we invite you to do that. Gurma's getting tea and honey. Why don't you guys do the same and pick up the phone, give Sean a call, get us on the line, and we will be right back right here on the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
Store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna. Beer buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, buzz talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fine, it's all good. Let me jump in, please send in the
trumpet.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man. Jump up and down and move it all around. Shake your hand to the sound, put your hands on the ground. Take one step left and one step right. One to the front and one to the side. Clap your hands once and clap your hands twice. And if it looks like this, then you're doing it. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
Welcome back in, beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. It is 9:32 on the East Coast of the U.S. of A. on Wednesday night. We're inviting you to participate in this here program by giving us a call at 1-800-436-3260. We've already established why that is still an important number. Pick up the phone if you are in Canada or the U.S. at 1-800-436-3260. All over the world, you can call us live at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Gurm, you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you get some tea?
Yep.
Did you see, you know, we had just Mambo number 5, which is a classic from about 13 years ago. And he mentions Monica in my life. Did you see where Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State of the United States, oh, America, was in Egypt this week? And her car, her limo was pelted, and they were screaming, Monica, 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 at Hillary Clinton. Did you see that?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, so, but you can picture that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, that was a reference to Monica Lewinsky, the intern at the White House, that her husband, Bill Clinton, said that he had not a sexual relationship with, but certainly we know that she committed oral sex, or provided oral sex, it might be a better way of saying it. That information, bro, that name made it all its way to Egypt. The concept that there was something wrong with what Bill Clinton did not only is in the fabric of Christianity, it's in the fabric of Islam and in religious mindsets all over the world. So the point where the people, for whatever reason, are pissed off with Hillary and this government here in the United States, used it as a verbal weapon against her. What are your thoughts about that and how that might have been handled differently by President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton at the time? And even now, people commenting. People still are completely repulsed by what Bill Clinton did. And I'm more disturbed by how he handled it, what he said about it over the course of the year between it coming to light in the public and where he admitted to what happened. And then, of course, he did lie before a court of law here in the United States about a previous relationship and then his relationship with Monica Lewinsky when people knew about that. And that's what he was impeached for, ultimately, in the Congress of the U.S., What are your thoughts about that vis-a-vis the gospel, vis-a-vis the fact that we know on this side of the cross that Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and Hillary Clinton and all the people that were protesting and yelling Monica at Hillary Clinton the other day in Egypt are all perfect and righteous and without sin in the sight of the Almighty? What are your thoughts about all that?
Well, I mean, beyond what the gospel says, you know, about the gospel. Really, just it separates the actions from the person, and that applies to all of us. And I mean, those are my thoughts on it. I mean, we know that, that God does not have anything against Clinton or the protesters or Hillary or Monica or you or I or anyone else. But beyond that, I don't really want to get into my little piece, of course.
No, this really is, what we're talking about, you guys, is not a political thing at all. It's a religious thing. It's a spiritual thing. This is the revelation. This is the important understanding of the work of the cross, the work of the sacrifice of the prophesied Hebrew Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. This work of Yeshua, of Nazareth, is monumental. I mean, way on a much higher scale than Christianity has ever presented to the world. Christianity is just a twisted, perverted religion. I mean, it's a literally a psychopathic, a schizophrenic concept of what the Hebrews were talking about, the Hebrew prophets and the Hebrew scriptures were talking about prior to it happening, and a complete perversion of everything that's come out of the Roman Catholic and then handed off in a baton fashion to the Protestant Church. This has all been presented, Germ, in a nice, tightly wrapped package called the Bible, the King James Bible, the Holy Bible. People have put the same stock in the prophecies by Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, and the prophecies and the teachings from the Law and the Psalms. They put it in the same category as those teachings and those understandings as the New Testament. And it's been very difficult. I mean, let me tell you something, you guys. If Barack Obama, who is the president of the United States as we speak, and Mitt Romney, who is the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party for the presidency of the United States on this July evening, if either of those guys, Germ, were to come out and say the Bible is not the Word of God, if they were actually able to come out and say that right now, that would disqualify them from becoming president. They would lose the presidency right now in this country, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it seems like you pretty much have to, not only that, but you pretty much have to be a Christian to be in order to be a president, it seems like.
Not pretty much. I mean, we've never had a president in this country that has said that they were not a Christian. I mean, the controversy that followed Barack Obama during his initial run for the presidency 4 years ago was his affiliation with Jeremiah Wright. Jeremiah Wright said some serious bullshit stuff. I mean, that guy, I mean, the stuff that came out of that guy's mouth, his pie hole, I mean, that was some serious bullshit, some serious condemnation, but no less than anything that came out of the pastor's mouths that John McCain listened to, or George W. Bush listened to, or Ronald Reagan listened to, or Mitt Romney, certainly Mitt Romney. You talk about a crazy nutcase religion, Mormonism, oh my God. Well, it's no more crazy than evangelical Christianity. It's no more crazy than would claim to have a parchment, a scripture, a book, a compilation of writings that never claims to be the Word of God, that says it is the Word of God. Yeshua himself declared what the Word of God is. Germa, he said that he was talking to the religious leaders, who the only guys that really understood the scriptures. Most people, of course, were illiterate during Jesus' time, during Yeshua's time. He said, you think, he was talking to the religious leaders here now. He says, you think you know the scriptures, but I'm telling you that these are they that speak of me. Jesus himself, Yeshua, not the Jesus, not the Christian Jesus, you guys, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, perfectly coiffed. The Jesus of the Christianity religion has got a really nice beard, all groomed, nice blonde hair. I mean, he way looked more like Bob Marley than the typical image or icon of Jesus. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you, Graham?
Absolutely.
Dark-skinned, olive-skinned, out in the sun. I mean, dreadlocks. I mean, scraggly beard. Long, come on. Robe. Much more like Bob Marley. Much more like a Rastafarian than the typical image of Jesus by Christianity. He's the one that said that you think you know the scriptures, but he said that these scriptures were about and solely about him. And when you read the scriptures, you guys, you have to understand that Jesus, as recorded, see, we don't say that the New Testament writings are the Word of God. We don't believe they are the Word of God. They can't be scripture. They can't be Holy Writ, as defined by Yeshua, as defined by the disciples and Paul, Saul, the apostle of grace, as even Christianity identifies him with. He can't be talking about the New Testament writings because they weren't written yet. Do you guys get that? The scriptures, and he defines the scriptures, Jesus, Yeshua does, as strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, not even all of the Old Testament writings as scripture. He says they're all about him. And here's the amazing thing, Gurm, is here we are declaring, I'm declaring, and I love what you... Well, time out here, you guys. Just time out for a second. If you guys want to call us, we've got a few minutes left. Sean is, well, I don't know. What are you surfing right now, Sean? You're trying to fix what? What's wrong?
I'm repairing this laptop.
He's repairing a laptop. I'm glad that he's being paid top dollar to work on something else. That's your guys' fault. If you call, Sean will answer your call at 1-800-436-3260. I know there's people calling right now that are fuming. They are incensed that we're saying the Bible is not the Word of God. Call us right now at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. And Sean will take your call. We'll put you on right now. We'd like to hear some dissenting points of view. But I noticed today, Gurm, that in your reporting about your medical condition, that your doctor, who you weren't able to take a call earlier, heard your voicemail. There's not. By the way, you guys, I've gotten Gurm's voicemail a number of times. There's nothing on your voicemail, Gurm, that would indicate that you are a Christian. But your doctor assumed you were a Christian based on your voicemail, which was interesting. And when you heard that he said that you were a Christian based on his response, how did you respond to that in your own heart and mind?
Well, just in my own heart and mind, just privately, I was like, well, I already know that. I don't consider myself a Christian, because, excuse me, Christianity is, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion, and he didn't come to make followers. He came to set us all free. And that to be a Christian, pretty much to be a Christian, you would have to embrace the failure of the work of the cross.
Can you enunciate a little bit further on that?
Yeah, to be a Christian, you'd have to basically, embrace the doctrine that Jesus failed in his mission to redeem the world. And that it's up, and that he left it up to, that he only did a partial work, and then left it up to man to let humanity to make their own choices about their eternal destiny. And I don't believe that, and that's why I don't consider myself a Christian. I don't believe that our eternal destiny is up to us, that God through Christ already took care of it for everybody. Everybody's going to heaven.
Everybody's going to heaven.
Yes.
Your brother, who committed suicide, Shane Wendorsky's cousin, who committed suicide, everybody who's within the sound of our voices, whose family or loved ones or acquaintances, everybody has somebody that they know that's committed suicide. They whatever heaven is, they went to heaven?
Absolutely. They're in eternal peace with God.
Do you think that, well, this is kind of a loaded question. What would, I'll put it this way, what would be the effect worldwide if more people understood that they were already at eternal peace with God vis-a-vis the suicide rate, do you think?
What do I think the effect would be?
Yeah, if everybody absolutely 100% knew. Now, undoubtedly, people who have known that have killed themselves, have committed suicide. You and I both have contemplated suicide, even though we have known that after the fact that we knew that. But for your own edification and for the folks that are listening, if people actually knew worldwide that they were perfect and righteous and holy, they never sinned, they never made a mistake vis-a-vis the way that God looked at them, what do you think that would do to the suicide rate?
I certainly think at the very minimum it would have the potential, to, not only the potential to bring it down significantly, but, a pretty good probability. Not going to eliminate it, but I think there would be a decrease.
It would significantly decrease the suicide attempts, and certainly the suicide. Listen, if you reduce the suicide attempts, just by extension and logically, you're going to reduce suicide, right?
Oh, yes.
Our dear sister, Kate Benham, in Australia, penned a song about why she's not a Christian. And we're going to listen to you guys, listen to the words of this song about why Kate Benham's not a Christian. And you'll know why Germa Colson says that he is not a Christian. Why Sean says that he's not a Christian, and why I agree.
I believe the world is won, I am not a Christian. I believe the battle's won, I am not, and I believe the kingdom's come, I am not a Christian. One light lit up everyone, I am not a Christian. Taken away, I am not a Christian. I see there's no more price to pay. I am not, and I can see we're all okay. I'm not a Christian. There is no coming judgment day. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that
That's good news, ladies and gentlemen. That is Kate Benham from the great nation of Australia. That is good news, girl. She
absolutely.
A lot of things she just said there in that 90 seconds or whatever it was. One of the most powerful things she's saying in that was that there is no coming judgment day. This flies in the face of what so many people believe. Whether they are Christians or Jews or Muslims or whatever they are, everybody thinks there's a coming judgment day. Even atheists believe, well, maybe not atheists, but agnostics, they think you're going to be judged at the end of this life. Even people that are so-called grace believers, like you like to call them grace believers, they believe there's a coming judgment day. What would you say to those folks?
I'm going to say to them, I'd point them to John 12, verses 31 through 33, where Jesus said that now is the judgment of this world, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself, all people to myself. In some translations, it will say all people. And he said this verse 33, say Jesus said this, signifying the kind of death that he would die, that all judgment would come on him, and at that same time, all of us would be drawn to him, and basically, you know, be made one with him and one with each other. So Judgment Day is already passed, and the Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning the truth about judgment, that judgment has already been taken care of. And God isn't going to get paid twice for sin.
Well, he could be theoretically, but I think that's a great challenge for folks. Does God Almighty need to be paid twice for sin? What was he satisfied with the sacrifice of Yeshua?
Absolutely. It doesn't make any difference whether we're satisfied with it or not. What matters is God's opinion about it. Is he satisfied? If he is, then it's done. It doesn't matter what we think about it, as far as our eternal destiny is concerned, how God sees us.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago, we had Danny Minasconians on. Did you hear that show, Kerm?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, you got to go back, because it's entitled that Christianity wants us, meaning the human race, to be the last Adam. We're the ones that need to pay the price. We're the ones that need to pay the final price. We're saying, as non-Christians, that there's no more price to pay, that the price has been paid by Christ. How ironic is that, Kerma, that people that do not identify themselves as Christians, like yourself and myself, and Danny Minasconians, for that matter, boldly proclaim that the price has been paid by Christ, that there's no more price to pay, and yet Christianity said, yeah, there's more. There's another judgment. You guys, there's no more judgment coming. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen when you die. You're not going to face a judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat was already meted out. Remember the song, Germ? Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. I see, he said, if I be lifted up before men, I will draw all men unto me.
I remember that.
You guys remember it too. The way that the religion, the Christianity, teaches that is that Jesus needs to be lifted up in our proclamation, in our sharing, in our evangelism, and then he will lift, or he will draw all men up. No, lift Jesus higher. He said, if I be lifted up. He was lifted up on a stake, on a Roman sign of execution. That's how they killed people in the Roman Empire. They lifted him up, not on a cross. That's a term that came down. I was going to say came down the pike. He was actually lifted on a pike, Germa. He was lifted on a stake. His hands were over his head. They weren't spread apart. The reason that the image of the... Well, there's all kinds of reasons that the image of the cross became known as the cross. It wasn't the cross. There was a sign over Yeshua that said King of the Jews that gave the image of the cross. And then Constantine, after his wife became a believer in Yeshua through, I believe, a sincere belief and a sincere divine understanding, he saw a physical cross in the sun. And then, of course, Germ, we know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So he came around. This is where of Zeus, Yeshua, or excuse me, Yeshua, I'm having a problem pronouncing it. It's hard for me to get it out of my mouth. Jesus of Zeus. This is where the Jesus came from, you guys. Of Zeus. Jesus came from. From the Roman Emperor Constantine. After he saw a... Germ, have you ever looked in the sun and seen a cross in the sun?
No, I haven't.
I have many times. You don't want to look at the sun very long. You could go blind from that. You could go blind from some other things, but I wouldn't dissuade you from doing that, as you guys know, if you listen to the show for about a millisecond. But yeah, he's the one. The whole, the Roman cross. I mean, it came all the way down into the Third Reich. That cross, the concept. Do you know the sign of the cross is so antithetical to Jewish minds, modern day minds, that in Israel today, Gurm, for a plus sign, they don't use a plus sign in Israel. They use literally a T, and the T is way more representative of what the so-called cross looked like than the cross. But because Jewish people have been massacred by the multiple millions over time in the name of Christ, in the name of the cross, that Jewish people cannot look at that symbol of a small T, of a cross, the same way. So in Israel, the plus sign is a T, a capital T. Did you know that?
No, I learned something new.
You did. And maybe the folks that are out there learned something new, too. You guys, what we're talking about now is not religious symbols. We're talking about a reality. We're talking about a book that has been propagated by religious controlling men, basically, trying to control women, basically, and weaker men into behaving in a certain way that in no possible way could possibly relate to the Word of God. Gurm, to your knowledge, and you have extensive knowledge, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, from the book of Genesis, 66 books, as you earlier said on this webcast, is there anything in the Bible, in the Holy King James Bible that now has been translated 100 different ways, is there anything in that book that says the Bible is the Word of God?
Nothing. I couldn't find it. I searched it and, cross-reference the Bible Gateway. Nothing. Couldn't come up with anything.
But the Bible, even the passages that you and I would absolutely agree that are not Holy Writ, are not Scripture, they do describe something or somebody as the Word of God, don't they?
Yes.
What is that?
Jesus.
You say Yeshua?
Yeah, Yeshua.
Ooh, I love that. I got a little turned on when you said Yeshua. When he did it in your deep baritone voice. Go Yeshua. I love that. Yeah, that's right. You guys, that's right. The prophesied Hebrew Mashiach. Remember, Yeshua means salvation. The Jewish prophets and all the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets were describing the coming salvation of Israel. And as we learned in the New Testament writings that were verified, or the New Testament writings verify what was said in the scriptures, that this Hebrew Messiah took the entire planet, Gurm, on himself or in himself at that point of sacrifice. The Lamb of God that, you guys, you understand that when John saw that Lamb of God come out after he baptized him, what did he say, Gurm, about the Lamb of God? He said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, not just of Israel, that takes away the sin of the world. That was an incredible revelation. This is what the Bible talks about. The Bible doesn't talk about itself being the Word of God. God damn it. When you look at people praying over people, I saw something on the news today after I read your post, Gurm, in Facebook. I saw somebody praying on the news, or maybe it was on YouTube, holding the Bible on somebody's forehead as if that book meant anything at all. It's just a bunch of pages and ink, you guys, and sometimes leather. What a waste of time. Gurm, for those of the people that are out there right now that are struggling with the whole issue of this wonderful, thick book, that is a wonderful book. It's an incredible book. It's an incredible story that the writings, whenever they happened, lasted this long. What would you tell people, what would you advise people about how to read the Bible?
Well, the thing is, I mean, we could take a verse here and a verse there and use it to prove any kind of point or doctrine, but what really gets down to it is the big picture. What is the heart of God? You know, what is his intent? And I believe that his heart is always restorative. But as far as how to read it, at the end of the day, I mean, your heart is your only teacher, because the Spirit of God lives in every heart. And the Bible is a wonderful tool, and you're going to find some things in there that confirm the truth that's already deeply planted in every human heart.
Yes.
And it's just, and the fact, and we have to keep in mind that translators down through the centuries have a way of translating that is bent toward legalism. So that's just something to keep, that I keep in mind when I read. And we just don't have any of the originals available to us. But I think if we did, I suspect that we would find more things that...
You guys, here's what I would say, and I know, Grim, you agree with this, that if your heart, if what is in your heart is kinder than the doctrine that comes out of the Bible that your church teaches, if your heart is kinder than your doctrine, guess which one is right? Your heart, ladies and gentlemen. You guys that think that people that have not accepted Christ are going to hell, that they're unrighteous, that you might be unrighteous because you did a couple of wrong things, just pretend over the next 72 hours or the next week until we gather on this radio show, just pretend that you and everybody that you see in your life, whether they be strangers or family members, close friends, are perfect and holy and righteous in the eyes of God. See what that does to your soul this week. Gurm, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, too.
Want to also thank Sean O'Halloran for producing, engineering, and call screening this extravaganza. You guys, let us hear from you this week. Thank you so much, Gurm. We love you. Good luck on your journey. Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.